Lord, I find you in the seeking. Lord, I find you in the doubt. And to know you is to love you, and to know so little else I need you. Oh, how I
praise you.
mighty and marvelous.
That's right.
And we put our hope in your name, Jesus. Nothing to fear, you are here with us.
Yes, he is.
We put our hope in your name, Jesus.
Sing blessing and honor today.
Blessing and honor, glory and power unto our God forever and ever. All of the honor, all of the praise.
It's His and His alone. Come on.
I'm an overcomer, and I walk in victory.
Come on, if you know God has blessed you, I want you to raise a hand and just say it. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed when I go in. I'm blessed when I go out. We know that life isn't always a blessing, but God is. And when we're connected to Him, we always experience His blessing. So let's just declare it over everything in our life today.
That my house is blessed. My family
is blessed.
Is blessed.
My church, my health
is blessed.
And my wealth.
And my wealth is blessed.
My church
is blessed.
Is blessed.
My city is blessed.
My nation
oh, is blessed. For my God is blessed. My house is blessed. My family is blessed. My health is blessed. My wealth is blessed. My church is blessed. My city is blessed. My nation is blessed. My nation is blessed.
For my God. Come on, if you believe that, sing it with me today.
My house is blessed.
Is blessed. That's right.
My family is blessed. My health is blessed.
And my
wealth is blessed. My church is blessed. And my city is blessed. My nation is blessed.
For my God. Darkness, you shine out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Oh, come on. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Oh, our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Oh, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. You're awesome in power, our God. Oh, yes, we believe that's true today. We believe it's true today. And we know he's greater. Hey!
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
Laying in bed and I just began to pray. Have you ever just spent some time with God? And as I was laying there, I remembered the Lord just kind of placed in my heart to just kind of say what He is. Sometimes we just got to say it to ourselves a little bit. The Bible says that He's our hiding place. He's unchangeable. He's true. He is peace. He loves us. He's the light in darkness. He's the rock. He's the rock. You can stand on Him and He will not fail you. He's our healer. He's our helper. He's our redeemer. He's faithful. He's our counselor. He's our mighty, 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 powerful God. And most of all, He's my Savior. Can you just thank Him for what He is today? Thank Him for what He is. Can we just welcome here right now? Lord, we just thank You. I want to hear Your voices. We thank You for who You are. Let us always be reminded of who You are. You're unchangeable. Thank You, Jesus. Whatever any person needs today, I pray that when they leave today, they'll be different. In every area of their life, Lord, Holy Spirit, whatever You want to do in this church today, we give You all. We tell You, Lord, You take it. We want to leave different. Come in and mess us up a little bit today, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that You're our peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you just tell about two people what God is to you, and then you may be seated. I try not to get excited, but we're talking about Jesus, right? So it's okay to do that, Darcy. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to tell you a couple things that are going on. How many love that there's always things going on at this church? I was thinking there's a couple. Yes. I see some different faces that flew in from Haiti last night. And they are with us this morning. I think they might have drank a little coffee this morning, but you're looking good. I see you sprinkled everywhere, and we're so thankful. You know, we prayed for you every day and believe for miracles, and I can't wait to hear about them. On October 27th, the Ignite is going to have a costume party. Do you know what that is? Adults, you don't do that. Just let the, not here, not for us. But the Ignite, they're going to come in some great costumes, and there will be prizes and just a lot of fun. And then on the 29th, the kids will do that on Sunday. They're going to dress up with some costumes, being silly and crazy. How many know that kids are silly and crazy? Yes, and I love that. I love hanging out with them. They're very fun. But don't you come in those that Sunday. Just let your children. And that Sunday, Ted Shuttlesworth will be with us, evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth, both services. And we're believing for many, many miracles. Many miracles that Sunday. I was thinking, one time he was here, the Lord really used him. I think you've all heard my story probably several times, but I couldn't hear in this ear, and I had nerve damage. I had been to Boston. There was no feeling on this side of my face, and the Lord, he just prayed for me, and the Lord opened my ears. So now I can hear everything he says to me, and I cannot ignore him because I can hear it. I was just kidding. I don't ignore him. You're a tough crowd this morning. Let me look around. Okay, so that will be the 29th, and we're just believing for great things. And next Sunday, somebody say next Sunday. This is just something that we do. The Lord laid it on our heart. I think last year was our first year that we ever did this. But we believe in reaching out and touching our community. Do you? I know you do. And last year, Pastor, he went section to section, and we decided that we would buy 100 new coats for our community children. And I'll be honest, you did way more than 100. And we were able to bring coats to children, brand new. How many know that kids deserve new coats? Yes, they do. They deserve new coats. And so next week, it really took about, I'd say, 3 minutes. And you just raise your hand, and you're going to say, I'm going to bring in a new coat, and then we'll have buckets, and then we are going to drop them off to our schools in this area and just bless them, because we want to bless this community. Amen? Amen. If you're visiting with us today, we just want to welcome you here. Charleston Church, will you welcome them? Come on. Come on. We're so glad that you are here today. And if you are here and this is your first Sunday, or maybe you've been here for a little while and never filled out the Connect card right in front of you, if you just take that, fill it out, and put it in the offering, we have a gift for you after church. When you leave, if you want to stop at the Welcome Center, we have a gift for you. We have a Dunkin' Donuts coffee gift certificate. And let me tell you, that's a good thing. Yes? That's a good thing. If ushers, if you'd want to come down, we're going to take up the offering this morning. You're one of the most giving churches. You really are. You're one of the most giving churches. And first of all, I just want to say thank you from last week, the offering that you gave to Brandy and Paul. I just want to say thank you. We were able to be with them this week, and they said that they felt your prayers. They said, I can't explain it, but we feel their prayers. And how many know it's great that they can feel them, but how many know it's good to give them a check to help them in this crisis? And I just want you to know that you're just so faithful. And I just wanted to personally thank you for what you did for them. It was a blessing in this very difficult time for them. I just want to thank you for all you do every week, for your faithfulness to this church. And we're just going to pray and ask the Lord to just bless this offering, that we would be able to do more at the end of this year than we have done all year. I've been praying that. Isn't that a little crazy? But I've been praying that we could reach out more and have different ideas than we've ever had. So will you just pray with me this morning for this offering? God, we just thank you that we can come to this church today and be together. God, we just thank you for what you have for every person here. I pray that you bless them. We thank you, Lord, that they're faithful in their tithes and their offerings. We thank you, Lord, that this church is going to even do more than we've ever done. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to open up different things for us, to reach out even more to our community. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Dave Churchill is going to come up and make an announcement. I know that he is. Or maybe he is not. Oh, he is. Yes. Yes. Yes, he's here. We have great board members in this church. Can you thank them for all they do all year long? We appreciate them.
Thank you, Darcy. Could Dr. Ward join us on the platform?
You're sick. You need a pill. You're all right.
I'll get over it. I'm here as a representative of the board and the body of believers here at Charleston Pentecostal Church to express gratitude to the two of you for your service to the Lord. And I felt the Lord was just putting some things in my heart to share, and I could have gone a couple of different ways, because I have some history with you two. But the way I felt the Lord was leading me was just to express my gratefulness and the church gratefulness to have you as our pastors. You know, when the when the storms of life come and the skies get dark and gray, the wind picks up. The wind drives the water up against the boat. You want to have somebody in your boat with you, backing you up. And you're in my boat, and you're in this church's boat. And when we face difficult times, the Spirit of God uses you mightily. And I appreciate that. We all appreciate that. And I just want to tell you that we appreciate your integrity, your honesty, your willingness to let the Holy Spirit use you week in and week out. Even when you're not here, we feel your influence through your staff and the people that work in your ministry with you. And we're just blessed. We're blessed beyond measure. And I want to just, we don't do it enough to share how blessed we are and how grateful we are to you. And I just know that this church is loved of the Lord, because he gave us such great gifts and pastors such as you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We praise God for you.
Now
have a couple of small gifts of appreciation I wanted to give you today.
Thank you.
You know, the trend today in our society is a size down, especially when you get older like I am, and they're not there yet, but they'll see it in a few years. Your garage gets full of stuff. Your closets are overflowing with all sorts of things. And you just need to size down. Small gifts of appreciation is the way to go. So, Darcy, here's a small gift of appreciation. And, Pastor, here's a small gift of appreciation from the Thank church
you.
Board.
Thank you.
And I'd like you to open those now, if you could.
Wow. Shoes.
Barbie shoes.
Those are from the House of Barbie.
Lots of them. All right. Ooh. I finally got what I wanted. A 79 Trans Am right there. Huh?
That'll never drop any oil on your garage floor.
Then it's not a real Trans Am.
But
thank you.
Gratitude is best expressed in cash.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
Love you,
buddy. Love you very much. Very kind of you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Some help down? Are you going to take my car? Yeah.
Yes, I'll take that. Thank
you want it all?
Yes.
You want some help down? It's just second nature. I don't know what to say. It's really, but I do pray for you every day. What a wonderful church we have, huh? The greatest privilege of my life has been to be a part of the church, not to serve as the pastor, really. It's just to be a part of this. And this is different than maybe other churches you've been to. For me, this is, and it has been all my life, been our family. So this is just, means more to, I'm not saying it means more to us than other pastors, but it means more to us than other pastors that haven't grown up this way. And there are advantages and disadvantages to how we've done some things, but for us, and I hope for you, it's been greater advantages, and we love you very much. And we got a great church. I mean, there's a great family here, and it's more than numbers, but I'm telling you, there's some great people here, and we take these couple weeks to really appreciate one another. And I've got a message that I want to speak to you today that is far different than most I've ever preached, I think, but I think needed for our day and time. And so we've been collecting some testimonies of some people, and you know, it's hard. You don't get to meet everybody here on Sunday, but there are some incredible stories that are represented in this church, and I want you to see just one of them today, and we'll feature another one next week. This one's of the Northrops. If you'd just go ahead and play that now.
So the Speeds and the Philbricks, Derek worked with, invited us here to the church. Derek came a few times without me, because I had an experience in the past at a prior Pentecostal church, so it kind of turned me off. You know, the first time I walked into the sanctuary in the first service, I knew it was meant to be, and we just didn't stop coming back. When we left that day, Derek says, "So Shelley, what did you think?" And I just started crying. I just started crying. We were only a few feet down the road. And I was like, what am I going to do, Derek? My schedule, I had to work Sundays. I'm like, what am I going to do? And he's like, well, we'll just pray on it. So we did. And that week, I was able to get my schedule changed so I could have Sundays off. So I was able to attend church. And I'm so glad that we came to the church, because, I don't know, we have a huge church family now.
I've always been a believer. But when we went to our first discipleship class, Dalton asked me, Derek, if you were to die tomorrow or in the next couple days, do you believe that you would go to heaven? And I said, to ask you, you know, to answer that honestly, I don't know. And I said, I believe, but I don't know what's going to happen. A few weeks later is when I was saved, and from that day moving forward, there's no doubt in my mind. But what I notice different now is I have it in my heart. It's incredible, and what God's done for us, it's amazing. I lost my brother back in March. He had a massive stroke and was paralyzed. From the time he had the stroke, it was about 3 to 4 weeks before he passed. Knowing that he had never had a relationship with the Lord, and I had this fear of, like, what if I ask him, can I pray for you, Darren? Or, you know, what if he doesn't let me or allow me to do it? So I asked him if I could pray, and he squeezed my hand, and I prayed the sinner's prayer, and tears rolled down his cheek, and he held on to my hand as tight as could be, and he accepted Jesus the last week or two that he was with us. And, you know, the feeling that we had in that room, the presence of the Holy Ghost, and just how powerful God is, it's just so amazing. 3 months later, my mother passed, and that was pretty rough. And I know, not having a relationship with the Lord, that there's no way I could have made it through both of those.
I would say to the people that invited Derek, thank you so much. Because without you inviting us, we probably would have never ended up at this church, at Charleston Church. And all the people that we have met, it's been a blessing for the both of us. And we thank you so much for that invite, because we probably be living that horrible life that we lived before, and now we have this brand new life with Jesus in our heart and having God first. And our marriage has been a blessing as well.
Isn't that awesome? I want Derek and Shelley to stand just so that you can see that they're real people, they're not paid actors that are up there. Let them know you love them. So proud of you guys. Really proud of you. Really proud. So I wondered how I would start today. Oh, by the way, Matt and Alicia are here. We'll hear from you tonight. That'd be good? Awesome. You'll want to hear about what they did in Haiti. That's going to, I can't wait till tonight. 5 o'clock. We have service tonight at 5 o'clock. If you're watching online, you got time to get here by 5 o'clock. Even if you're in Boston, leave now. Leave now. I would anyways, but... So I was wondering how I would start this message today. I was heading here to church this morning, and I was behind a truck, and a deer ran out in front of the truck, and he slowed down, and another deer ran out in front of him, and he ran over it. He got its leg, just ran over its leg, and down into the ditch. So like all good Mainers do, this is like tremendous entertainment for us. Everybody stops around to hit animal, and... So I pulled over, and he pulled over as Paul Thomas, and we went over, and the little deer, unbelievable, that little deer got up. I saw him, half-ton truck, run over that deer's leg. That deer got up, shook it off, and just started running off into the woods, and I thought, that's pretty cool. Must have a wicked Charlie horse today. And I just got to talk to Paul for a second, and Paul said, hey, can I tell you a story? Yeah. And if you don't know Paul, they have Thomas Farms over there in here in Corinth, and he said a man was walking in California, and he was praying to God. And he said, God, I'd like to ask you a question. And the clouds rolled in, and the thunder roared. And God said to him, yes, my son, you've been so faithful to me. I will do anything I can for you. The man said, I would like you to build me a bridge from California to Hawaii so that I could drive to Hawaii anytime I wanted to. The reply was, boy, do you realize how deep the Pacific Ocean is and how much steel it would take and the engineering and the crew and all that? Do you have any idea how much work that would be? Is there any other thing that you would like to request? And the man said, well, I would like to understand my wife. To which God replied, how many lanes would you like that bridge to be made? Thank you, Paul. How many husbands would ask, don't even raise your hand, that's not even fair. But there are many times that if you listen to the wrong people, you know, the church is the bride of Christ. That's what the Bible calls it, the bride of Christ. We don't make it weird. That just is how much love and affection God has for the church. And if you listen to the certain people, you would have in this in mind, there's just no way to know properly how to have church. There are so many different perceptions and opinions and philosophies about church, and obviously some of them are wrong because of the results. And you have to wonder, can I really know? And if I'm going to make a commitment to live my Christian life being an active part of the local church, can I know that I'm getting it right? And I really make that my prayer for the rest of my tenure, that God wills that we're together, that I would do my best to lead in such a way that we're not building the church that we like, but we're building the church that He likes. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church. He did not say, I will build Matt Ward's church. By the way, it's not. He did not say, I will build what this generation likes for the church, young or old. Jesus just simply said, I will build my church. And Jesus said, the results of a church built His way are the gates of hell will not prevail. What's that mean? That means simply that every satanic influence that is trying to destroy people cannot work freely when the church gets involved in people's lives. How many would agree today that there are some pretty terrible things going on in our world today and in our state and in our county, in our region? And I would suggest to you there are some things that will not be fixed without the involvement of a church that is built the way that God. But if the church will get built the way God said it should get built, it should be the greatest blessing in every community. And I believe that God is helping us. We're not a perfect church, but we got a perfect message, but we're aiming to get stronger and better. The best way I know it is go to the scripture, because it is not confusing in the scripture to know how to build the church. Go with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, it'll come on the screen, I think. Verse 1 says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I am a fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Stop. The elders. Now look at what Peter is writing here. To the elders, and if you'll study it in there, the elder of the churches. Now, an elder is not just somebody who is aged. An elder is a position, a pastoral leadership position. And so he says to the elders, he's speaking to a variety of churches. That means that there is one church, but there are also multiple churches in the church. And he says each church has a pastoral leadership. There should be a pastoral leadership staff in every church. And you hear people say, well, I'm not into organized religion. Really? You're into disorganized religion. Why doesn't that transfer over to healthcare? How many of you think disorganized healthcare would be a great blessing? You walk in there, you can't tell me, you're a doctor, I do what I want. What, you want me to pay the bill? Healthcare is a sensitive subject. I can feel it all of a sudden right here. Good grief. You can't talk about anything anymore, right? He says, I want there to be leadership. I want there to be elders. I want there to be a people. They have a title, but they have a job description. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that not just everybody can be on the pastoral team, the leadership of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives some guidelines. They still apply. Verse 1, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Last time somebody tells you, oh, being a minister is so hard, tell them that's not true. I would tell you today, being a pastor and being in the ministry and being involved in the ministry is the greatest blessing that a person could ever experience. You tell that person, maybe you did that to your pastor, but we haven't done that to our pastor. Because I still love it. All right, so if a man, verse 2, a bishop then must become blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So in essence, Peter is saying to the people of these churches, here is a leadership level. And Paul goes on to back it and say, there are expectations. That means there is accountability. That means you can't just live one life on the platform and another life in your house. He's saying you'll know if a man's a man of God if he gets married. I thought that was pretty humorous myself. Like nothing will reveal the wrinkles of character like family. I'm not saying that you have to, you can't, if you're single, you can't be a missionary. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the reason that Paul is putting these things down is so that you understand. Not everybody that is not, there is a level of responsibility that anybody has in leadership to the people that they're called to serve. So this seems like in America there are two extremes of everything. One extreme is to just cover our eyes. We don't care what they do. We don't care what the staff does. They're all human. And then there's the other spectrum where people with a critical heart just pick and nitpick. You know how many understand when you got Lumberger cheese on your top lip, everything stinks. And so there's this attitude issue. And so Peter and Paul both tell us that there ought to be pastoral leadership. There should be, there's leadership of volunteer ministries, and they should be held accountable. I want you to hear this because this is, again, now you already picked up why it's a different message. There are levels of accountability in this church. There are levels of accountability in this church. There is a staff. There is a board. The board oversees all the finances. I work with the board and they're a great team, and they work with me and I work with them, and we agree and we disagree, but we all get along and we stay in unity. They can say to me, we're not sure about that, and I can say to them, I'm not sure about this. I oversee the running of the staff. I don't have a checkbook. I don't have access to the checkbook. I don't sign a check. I don't know what you give. I know what I give. I know what the staff gives. Okay, more information than you actually ever cared to hear. And I understand that, but somebody needs to know that there's a right way to do church, and with God's help, we're doing it. We're trying to do it. Then Peter goes on in verse 6. The next verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. And when the chief shepherd, now watch this. This is not the pastor's church. This is God's church. So every time we gather in God's church, we should understand that we're cared for by the leadership, but ultimately, the greatest desire and the ultimate outcome when we gather together is that before you leave, you have a sense, I belong to the great shepherd. Hallelujah. If you walk into this place and you have no relationship with God, at the end of this service, you'll have an opportunity to accept Christ's gift of salvation into your life. And by, he will clear your sin away from your life and give you that father-son, father-daughter relationship that you need with God. Ultimately, that's what should happen every service, but not just for you, but for everybody. It would be the desire of the Lord every time you walk out to these doors and say, I belong to a big God. You know, you can sometimes question that when you're out and about in the world, but when you leave church service, may all the worship, may all the prayer, may all the announcements, may all the groups, may all the ministries that take place on this campus, Sunday to Sunday, always do this. Let you know you are built by God. You are destined by God, and you belong to the King of Kings. Anybody glad? We have a great owner, the ultimate shepherd. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I belong to God.
I belong to God.
And the church belongs to God. Right? The chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. There is a crown for pastoral leadership. I believe it's going to look like a full head of hair. Verse 5. Wait till you see me in my brand new home. I'm going to walk around like Don Juan, just... Fabio, if he goes, will say, well, that man's got great hair. That's my crown. It's in the Greek. 1 Peter 5. You know, I understand that 85% of you don't even need to hear this. But I think if somebody asks you about your church life, you should have an answer for it. Right? Okay, so most of you don't need to hear this. You already believe it. But now I want you to know why. Now let's go to the flock. Chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Now, that word younger, let me just back up. So when the Bible was originally written, these scriptures were written in the Greek language. And King James' best interpreters did their best they could to bring it into the King's English. But that word younger actually does not mean age, it means rank. So this is a struggle that some people have with churches. They don't like it. But God built his church that there should be rank and order in the church. Like somebody's got to be responsible. Right? Like we don't just sit around and say, well, we pray the light bill gets paid. No, Barbara pays the light bill. I mean, not herself. You pay the light bill, but she makes sure that your check gets to the company. Right? There's supposed to be rank. And so in essence, let me break it down this way, and I'll get to the good stuff, better stuff in a minute. The church is basically God. Let me just say it, and I'll explain. God, government, gifted, gathered, gated. God, government, gifted, gathered, gated. God, we know him. The government, just because it's the only other word I can think that starts with a G, is the leadership of the church. The gifted are those who serve the church. The gathered are those who come and get ministry from the church. The gated are those who are not yet in a relationship with Jesus. And so when there's order that God is supreme, there's some leadership that's there responsible. There are some gifted people who use their talents to serve the people. When the people that come are ministered to, then everybody flows. Then the gated, when we leave this place, or those who come in here who don't have a relationship, have an encounter with Jesus Christ. You can't ask God to do something in the gathered that's not happening in the gifted. You can't ask God to do something in the gifted that's not happening in the governing. We need a revival in the youth. No, we need a revival in the staff. We need a revival in the young adults. No, we need a revival in the board. Now, I know you're nervous, but this is how it works. And if the governing gets connected to God, then they can anoint and care for the gifted. And the gifted begin to serve the gathered. And the gathered knows that we're here to reach the gated. There is no limit to what God can do with a local church that gets the order in place. Isn't that awesome? And all the credit always goes to God. All of it. There's no big I's, little U's, just different offices. These are younger people. Submit to yourselves, who? To your elders. Okay. Your elders. I had a guy come to me a few Sundays ago, a Sunday night after service, and he and his wife and his family had been coming for months and months. And he came to me with such humility, and I need you to know that, because the way I'm going to repeat his question, I don't want you to think that he had an attitude. He came up to me after, and he's been blessed, and he says, how do I know if this is real? And I said, well, you know, God, are you struggling with your faith? He says, no, the leadership. Like he was broken. He says, I want to believe. But is there something going on behind the scenes? Are there some people not living right in the leadership? Is there a cover-up going on? Is there one group that's running everything? And he was so honest about it. And I knew where he was coming from, because he'd been in some places. How many know not all churches have order? No, okay. And I said, look, I'm not smart enough to run a show. Like, I'm not a conductor. This is not the Ringling Brothers. I'm not talented or smart enough to keep a conspiracy going. Right? They have the rule of five. Once five people know a conspiracy, it gets out to everybody. Okay? And I'm like, I'm not smart enough, I'm not articulate enough, and maybe that's a blessing, to run some kind of a gimmick. I'm not saying gimmicks aren't run, but you got to have more intelligence than I have. And I said, look, my wife and I get along great. She's a wonderful kisser. It helps. I guess it helps. It does more than help. It satisfies. Hallelujah. It is well with my soul and with my beak. Hallelujah. All the things I've lost, my kisser is not one of them. Hallelujah. And I say that to make some of you uncomfortable, because a good husband loves his wife, and a good wife loves her husband. And we have a wonderful relationship. She couldn't have done any worse. I couldn't have done any better. I said, the staff loves each other. We don't fight. There's no game. Nobody jockeying for position. Nobody wants somebody else's job, because everybody else knows what everybody else is doing. And they know that they're not gifted for that. And I'm saying this to you because I want to be honest. I think our culture is just squirmish of the local church because they've heard so many true stories and they've heard so many made-up stories. They think, can I trust it? Can I receive from it? And the answer is, you know what? Everybody's human, but I'm telling you, for the glory of God, there's a tremendous love in the leadership of this church. And the Bible says that you need to find a leadership that you can yield to. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Please watch this. This is why you have to be, you can't just go to any church. Right? Well, it doesn't matter what church you go to. That doesn't apply to restaurants. That doesn't apply to dentists. That doesn't apply to clothing stores or shoe stores, my wife says. You don't go, you need, when you go to a church, you need to see if the leadership is living it, and you need to see the outcome of their conduct. Okay, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to tell you, verse 17 also says, obey those who rule over you. Now, this is where people get struggled, because, you know, people in leadership take advantage of people all the time. It's called United States politics. Okay? We left England because we didn't trust the leadership, and we set up a constitution that just plainly states we don't trust anybody that we vote for in position. The constitution is a written document that says we don't trust you, but we're going to vote for you anyways. And it's not all bad. Well, it's actually all right. Humanity. Why? But it's not. Peter said that the leadership should be willing and should be loving and should not do it for the money. And he says, those of you that are in the church should yield to the leadership. Look, in other words, it doesn't mean I don't tell you what to do. I don't tell you what to wear. I don't tell you where to go. I don't tell you what you can eat. I don't tell you what to do with your money. What the writer here of Hebrews, who, by the way, was writing to churches that were under persecution, who were gathering in their homes, and yet he still said, though you're under persecution and gathering in your homes, still do not forsake leaving your homes and gathering for corporate worship. Somebody say this, some assembly is required. He says, in essence, yield. Like when you get on if you're on Broadway and you get on 995 and you're on the on-ramp and you got traffic coming, you yield. You just, what it means is just pay attention to what's going on and then pull into your lane. And what the writer is saying is when you go to a church, yield to what's being taught. Yield to what's being preached. And if what is being preached is not in the Word, get your hell self out of there. But if what is being taught is in the Word, whether you like it or not, yield to it. Yield to it. Look what he says. That give a, let them do so with joy and not grief, that it would be unprofitable. If you're going to do lifetime in church, how many think you ought to get something out of it? It has all to do with yielding to what the Word of God is being preached. Y'all okay? Yes. Yield. Here's my issue. Are you ready? Now it's going to get a little tight. Not bad. The problem is the number of Christians in America is increasing. How many know that's not bad? The number of people who identify as Christians is increasing. But so is the number of people who don't believe that there's only one way to heaven. Of those people that are calling themselves Christians, many of them do not believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. While the identification numbers are increasing, so are the numbers of people that don't believe there's a literal hell. Why? Because we have a la carte preachers. Where, I don't know if any of you young people knew it, but they didn't have the internet when Peter wrote this. There's no such thing as your internet church. It doesn't exist. The writer of Hebrews, Peter wrote, Paul wrote, that you are to know the people that are preaching. And you need to know that their doctrine is right. The problem that we have, the temptation and the reason why we're getting more Christians and more people that have bad doctrine is that they have a la carte preaching. So they just go online. Come on, go like this, go like this. I'm preaching. Let your face know that you agree with it. They pick their preachers. So internet preachers, live stream preachers, television preachers. I just want to say it right. I'm going to stick a smile in there. Okay. Now, I say this because I love you. But what's happening in America is that we are a la carte preach. We are picking what we like off the salad bar. So I like this guy until he says something I don't like, so I'm going to stop listening to him live stream, and I'm going to listen to this guy. I'm going to listen to this guy until he says something I don't like. I'm going to listen, because I can hear people clicking off the live stream right now. Don't. Just please listen. And we pick this guy. Today you like Furtick. Tomorrow you like Swaggart. Today you like Hagee. Next week you like Jakes. Ooh. Now I'm touching your favorites. But look at me. You don't know Hagee. I love Hagee. I love Furtick. I love Swagger. I love, who'd I say? Jakes. When I get to heaven, I'll preach like Jakes. With big flowing hair. From the neck up, I'm going to look like one of those guys on a Harlequin book cover. Just from the neck up. I don't know about the neck down, them sissies. I don't know about that. But I'm not saying anything against them. I'm just saying they aren't your pastor. And I'm not fighting for your attention because I could honestly not give a rip. How's that sound? I'm just here to tell you that America is struggling because in the days of the scripture, they didn't shop around for preachers. And as soon as I said something you didn't like, then you say, okay, well, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to watch it online because I don't know that guy, but he says what I like and it makes... How many know sometimes you need to hear what you don't want to hear? A good doctor would not sit down with you when you're sick and tell you you're okay. If you find one, he's drastically overpaid and he's taking advantage of you. What you need is a doctor to say, I care about you. You've got an issue. Here's how to get it reconciled. Here's how to take care of it. And I'm just telling you, when the word of God is preached for somebody you know, sometimes it feels good. Sometimes it stings. But I'm just going to tell you, if you'll heed the word of God, you can grow and mature and not be pushed around by the waves of silly doctrine in these last days. I got to back up. I'm not saying that Furtick, Swaggart, Hagee, or Jakes have weird doctrine. I'm just saying the scripture says, know the staff that is ministering to you, and if they live what they're preaching, you'll not be disappointed. The reason so many people fall out spiritually when a well-known preacher falls is they put their relationship with somebody they never met. I've met a lot of preachers that I knew in my spirit, it's just a matter of time. I met one in Boston about 6 years ago, internationally known. I walked down the hallway and had a talk with him. And I told my wife that night, it's just a matter of time. And when that man fell, it got international news, and people, all the preachers are the same. No, they're not all the same. Come on, you take a guy that's pastoring in northern Maine. West Falloon is in northern Maine, Mars Hill. Pastoring a dynamic church, loves his wife, loves his children, reaching his community. This guy's working his guts out day in and day out, preaching hard, doing everything a pastor and a preacher should do. They're never going to put him on the news for that. Unless he stole some money. And then everybody wants to paint everybody with a broad brush. Y'all okay? I'm not asking you, I'm just saying, this is how you build a real church, not a virtual one. Now, I know there are people watching, you're in transition, or you have to work Sundays, and please don't put my words into what I'm saying. Some people are transitioned locally. There are some people, genuinely, there is not a gospel church in their region, so they watch online. I'm not saying some black and white statement. I'm just saying the ultimate goal that God wants is that you know the leadership and the leadership knows you. Okay, good. All right. Are we having fun or what? Gets better. Next verse. Yes, all of you be submissive. Look at this, though, to one another. See, it's not just about a relationship with the staff. Now it's relationship with the body. And he says, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. Wow, I got to get done. And he gives grace to the humble. Why is he saying that? Because the moment you start getting close to people, pride wants to prop up. How many understand the devil hates it when God's people get together? The Spirit of Christ in a person's life will lead them to unify with the body. People that are led away from the body are under the influence of Antichrist. Let me smile after I said that. I'm not saying they're full of the devil. I'm just saying there's two spiritual influences in the world. Christ and Antichrist. Christ is bringing the body together. Antichrist is trying to pull the body apart. And the moment you try to get near the body of Christ, somebody's going to say something to do something that you don't like. And you're either going to have to choose the route of being humble and say, you know what, I forgive and I love them. Or you're going to choose the route of pride and say, I don't like them. I'm not going there anymore. I've had to deal with it. You've had to deal with it. And you get somebody that was an ex-worship leader somewhere, and they come in with pride, and they've got some weird doctrine, and they got some weirdness going on, and you say, you know, I hear what they're saying, but it doesn't ring right in my spirit. It's because it's said out of a prideful spirit. Come on. How many know God loves the humble? But look at what happens here. Look what, when you begin to say, okay, I'm going to be committed to the local church. I'm going to be humbly submitted to the body of Christ. Why? Because if you just get connected to a leadership, you know, you can hear the word of God. But not only that, isn't it wonderful to meet somebody at JCPenney that's a part of the body and they share a word from God to you in JCPenney? See, this is the beauty of it. When you get connected to the local church that has integrity, not only can you count on every weekend hearing from the Lord himself, but when you go to Walmart, or you go to the Dunkin' Donuts, or you go to the ball field, or you go to the business, and you walk in and there's a fellow believer, and they begin to, I've done it. Hey, I was praying for you today. I can't believe, you know what? You begin to get your faith, not only Sunday morning, Sunday night, but you get it Tuesday afternoon. You get encouragement all around you. That's why I want this church to run in the thousands, so that everywhere you go, you find somebody that says, hey, wait a minute, I got a word from heaven for you today. How can you get discouraged when you get preached to 7 days a week? None of you are overdosed on encouragement. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the body of Christ everywhere you go, and a good handshake and a hug and say, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm glad to see you. But look what God says. God says, if you will yield to solid, charactered Bible preaching ministry in person, and if you'll yield to the body of Christ together, guess what he'll give you? He'll give you something you could never get on your own. It's called grace. Oh, come on, somebody. Help a preacher out, would you? It's Pastor Appreciation Day. You think this is easy? I'm sorry if I make it look that way. I've just come to tell you, if you have humility and say, I love the preached word and I love the body of Christ, guess what? God says, I'll honor that and give you grace. I'll help your family like I never would have before. I'll help your business like I'd have never done it before. I'll use you in a way you've never done it before. Do you see why the devil wants to offend you and separate you from good covering and good family? Next verse. This is awesome. Praise God. I feel like I'm just starting to learn how to run church again. This is, so we're talking about the pastoral team. We're talking about the flock. Turn your name and say, bah. Talking about the flock. We're talking about the flock that loves each other. The flock that loves each other. Not the wandering flock, the flock that loves each other through the good and the bad. Come on, how many know there's some sheep around here need to be trimmed? But it's all right. Come on, some hairy ones around. It's all right. But if you love one another and you keep a good spirit, that's all you got to have a good church. Now this is so awesome. It takes all the weight off everybody. Have good character, preach the word, love one another, keep humble. And God says the hand of God. Anybody, did anybody see that? Did I just preach? Am I dreaming? Did I just wake up? He's talking about the good shepherd, God himself, the pastor, the church, the eldership. The hand of God, understand, is the church. Lean in and listen. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Who's the hand of God? The local church. That's what he says. I just read it to you. Humble yourselves under the... People say, I'm going to humble myself the hand of God. The hand of God is the local church. And if you humble yourselves under the hand of God, the church, in due time, the church, God will use to pick you up out of a low place. What does the... The greatest thing that we can offer to our community is to be God's hand extended. Tired of doing church as usual. I want to be God's good hand extended to our hurting people. I want to be God's hand extended to each other. What's the hand of God? The hand can pick you up when you've fallen down. The hand can brush you off when you've gotten dirty. The hand can protect you when you're being attacked. The hand can guide you when you don't know where you're going. Come on, somebody. The hand can pat you on the back, say, keep on going. You're doing a good job. That's what the hand of God should do. And that's what the church is for. The church is to be the hand of God extended to people. Can I end with a story? Luke 5. The paralyzed man. We find him on a stretcher. And the Bible says he had four friends. I'm going to tell you something today. There are things in life that can paralyze you. And when they do, or if they do, you better make sure you got some right people around you. Because we got a lot of people, I don't need the church today. But if something knocks you down, who's going to help you up? Just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're sitting with me today. Go ahead, just tell them, I'm glad you're sitting with me today. Whew. If somebody cracked the window open, I wouldn't cry. Man, it's hotter than a $2 pistol up here. But maybe it's just me. I don't know. It's a stinking sweater. But I don't want you to see that big fat tattoo. I love my wife on my big bicep right there. So I'm leaving my sweater. It's good to see you smile. The man can do nothing for himself. And I'm so glad that his friends didn't walk away from him when he needed them most. I'm going to tell you what the church does not do. The church does not walk away from people when they need them the most. In fact, the church is often at its best when people's lives are at their worst. Reach down. They each reach down. They each reach down. I need four men. Quick, four men. Just four men that feel inspired. Okay, there's one. That's incredible. Okay, good. That guy's coming in the white hat. I'll take four. Come on. All right, buddy. Sorry, but you're paralyzed. Lay down. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work either. But we got insurance. Right over there, Kurt. Right up here, Tom. You know what? One guy. Come on, Dennis. Pick up his leg. No, just Dennis. Just Dennis. Yeah. Okay, Dennis. Bring him over here. No. You can see that don't work. I'm going to save the boy a trip to the hospital. You know what will work? When everybody does their part. If it was just Dennis, Dennis would get the glory. But somebody's got to open the door. Somebody's got to change the babies. Somebody's got to pick up kids for Sunday school. Somebody's got to teach Sunday school. Everybody, if everybody does their part, then the ministry will happen. The hand of God. I say when the hand of God is extended, we don't leave people when they're down. We don't leave it up to a few people. We all do our part. And when they got a hold of him, just grab his wrist, grab his leg, and drag him if you must. Oh my goodness, it works. They brought him to the house. Drop him. Well, put him down. Mom's down here. I'm sorry, I forgot. The men will just drop him. But they faced the hindrance. The house was full. You know what people do when they know they're the hand of God? If there's Anything that hinders people from coming to Christ, they get rid of it. See, if these guys were like much of the churches in Maine, and they saw the house was full, and they couldn't get to Jesus, they say, well, it must be Providence. Well, we did what we could. Nobody's got saved for 6 years, but the culture's going to hell. Right? Blame the culture for being what it is, and not the church being what it should be. When the church sees that there's something that's a hindrance from the lost being saved, it gets rid of the hindrance and says, we'll do what we got to do to get them to Jesus. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do what I got to do, even if I got to be uncomfortable. So they said, Kirk gets an idea. He says, let's take him up to the roof and cut a hole in the roof. And let's let him down. So they pick him back up. You okay, Jamel? And here they are on the roof, over here. Let him down. Bring him down. Let him down. Let him down. Bring him down. Oh, oh, oh. Let him down. How you feeling, buddy? Great. Feeling great. Hallelujah. Let him down. They're back up on the roof. Go back up on the roof. They cut a hole in the roof and they look down at Jesus and they say, what's that? And the Bible says Jesus, you can put your head down, Jesus seeing their faith. Stop waiting for somebody else to get what they need and start being what somebody else needs. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't see his faith, he saw their faith, because that's what paralyzed do. They just, but when he saw their faith, Jesus said, I'll heal you because of their faith. Pick your head up. There are people in this community that would not get to God, but except for your faith and for my faith and for our faith, there isn't one person in this area that cannot be reached. Why? Because God knows that if we're his hand extended, everybody deserves a touch from Jesus. And last, you know, there are a lot of needs in the world today. But we have one purpose. All we got to do is get people to Jesus. Sure, this is the place where we minister and there's all kinds of beautiful things, but the ultimate goal is not to get people to church. The church is an avenue. The ultimate goal is for your neighbor to get to Jesus. How many of you want to be one of those four guys in the church? How many of you want to be God's hand extended? And I just want to bring people to Jesus. When you go to work, you're God's hand extended to just bring people to Jesus. When you go to school, all you are is God's hand at school to bring people to Jesus. When you go home, all you are is God's hand into your home and your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews to say, I'm just going to do one thing. If I can bring you to Jesus, then Jesus can bring anything you need into your life. Come on, with a decided decision, say, today, Pastor, I just want to be God's hand extended to my world. Just raise your hand up nice and high. Thank you, brethren. Let me pray with you. You can go sit down, buddy. Let me pray with that hand up in the air. Lord, I pray for every hand extended right now. I pray your hand be upon us. Help me, Lord, to be a better pastor and a better preacher. Help the staff to be better at what they do. Help the board. Help the volunteer leaders. Help all of us realize afresh and anew, we're not about us. We're about being the hand extended to the rich, the poor, the black, the white, the church, the unchurched, the in, the out, the old, the young. Oh God, we are your hand. You've got no other hand to extend into my world than the hand that's the church. Oh God. Let us rise up in the power of the Spirit and be that hand. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about the Pentecostal power that's in the hand of God, the church. But before, I don't want anybody to leave if you wouldn't. Jim, I want to pray for you today. It's time for us to be the hand. you know, last week Paul and Brandy and Jared and Chelsea, and when we talk about that, if you weren't here last week, Paul and Brandy lost their one-year-old baby, died. You generously came in here this past week and nearly paid for the entire funeral. You were the hand of God. And so when we stood at the graveside of that little four and a half foot long casket, and Harrison's mom, Brandy, spoke. She spoke. You could hear a pin drop. I was spellbound. This precious mom began to speak, and she talked about all the good things that God had done for her. Talked about all the precious memories that she had, all the wonderful things that God has done. And she ended it by saying, I'm just amazed by the wonderful family that God has given us at the church. I'm going to tell you, I almost went into sin. I was so proud of you. That's nothing, that should not be abnormal. And it isn't around here. You know what that is? That's the hand of God. Precious family, burn out in Charleston. You bless them to help them get. It's the hand of God extended. Coats will be given in the next couple weeks. That's the hand of God extended. Jim, come here. I want to pray for you. I want to be God's hand extended to you. He can't hear me. Come with him. Come with Gordon and Melissa. Cindy and Jim started coming to this church just months, well, over a year ago. Cindy was just recently diagnosed with cancer. They don't give her but days. Oh, glorious testimony of salvation. Glorious testimony. Jim's got an incredible testimony of salvation. And this morning he says, I just got to get to church. What do you do when you're hurting? You go where the hand of God. Amen. He hadn't been saved 20 years, but he knows that it's God's hand extended. And we're going to pray for Cindy's healing today. But in the meantime, we're still God's hand extended. Come on, somebody. This is what church means. He don't need somebody to send. I don't want to be ugly. But an online church ain't going to help you when your wife's sick. And I'm not against it. I'm just saying there's something better. This God's koraba. Sometimes you need to feel somebody's hand on your shoulder. Oh, I'm thinking and praying for you a post. Good night. That's fine. Do it. But sometimes you need to shake somebody's hand and say, you know what? I'm praying for you. Nose to nose, toes to toes. Come on, how many know this virtual faith is not what the soul was meant to be healed by? The soul was meant to be healed by real people in real shoes, in real rooms, with real names, with real, come on, real faith. And says, I'm here to help you. I'll pray for you. I'll get you through this. How many know we need a real church more than we've ever needed it before? I need some men to come. I need some men to come. Just help me pray. Stretch your hand this way, church. Lord, I pray, first of all, for Cindy. The name of Jesus is greater than cancer. The name of Jesus is greater than all sickness or disease. The name of Jesus is mighty, mightier than any force or anything that's in the earth. And so, Lord, we put our faith together first for Cindy. God, we've seen you do mighty things before. And God, you're not limited today. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we extend and exercise our faith in you, a mighty God. And Lord, our brother has come to be in this place today. I pray for Jim. We are your hand extended to Jim today. It's easy to feel alone. It's easy to feel outside. It's easy to feel empty. But God, I pray that you'll minister to his faithfulness today. And let us be your hand extended unto him. Let us be your people extended unto him. And let there be a peace that passes all understanding. A supernatural confidence that exceeds all natural situations. By faith, Lord, we overcome. By faith, we find there's a lily in the valley. There's a bright and morning star. And so, God, we come to you to be your hand extended of healing, your hand extended of comfort, your hand extended of strength today. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. He's not alone. Supernatural strength and faith comes to him today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Love you, Jim. Love you. Love you, brother. We pray for Dominic. You know, Dominic is their grandson that they're raising. How old is Dominic?
He's 12 now.
He's 12 years old. Is he here? Is he with us? He's Ignite.
Yeah, he came with me.
He came. Dominic is 12 years old. It's their grandson that they're raising.
We adopted him.
You have adopted him, right? Oh, you've adopted him. And Dominic said, I want to go to church with you, Dad. When you go to church today, you're teaching Dominic an incredible lesson. You got to know where to go when you're hurting. We pray for Dominic up there, for Anthony and Sarah and all the leaders in Ignite right now. Lord, I pray that you'll touch that precious boy, 12 years old, a faith that is real and a faith that is strong. I pray that you'll touch Dominic. Lord, it's I don't even know how a 12-year-old could conceive these things, but God, in his life, you've worked. If it wasn't for these precious folks, Lord, Dominic's life would be totally different. But because of their obedience, God, you're going to touch Dominic, and you're going to give him supernatural faith today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Amen. Amen. Encourage Jim. Just encourage Jim. I'm going to ask you to just with heads bowed and eyes closed without anybody leaving. Minister here, gentlemen, if you would. And those that need sit, go ahead. But if you're here today, you don't have a relationship with Christ, I cannot tell you that there's anything more important than serving Him. It's more about church, more than church. It's all about you serving God. If you're here today and you say, that's me, I need to give my life to Christ or renew my commitment to Him, stretch your hand nice and high and say, that's me. Stretch your hand nice and high. I just want to make sure I never miss an opportunity. I think I know everybody that's here, but if there's somebody that I don't know, I want to make sure you have the opportunity to serve Jesus. All right. Would you please stand together with me? I'm going to do something that's a bit unusual. But even across the aisles, I'm going to ask that everybody make a... And men, we don't like to hold each other's hands, but you can put a hand on a man's shoulders. But even across the aisles, all across the balcony, I don't want there to be any division in any row. Would everybody just put a hand on somebody's shoulder, if you would? Let's cross the aisles. Let's get across here. That means that somebody's going to have to move. That means somebody's going to have to move. Y'all going to have to get together on this, all right? That's it. You may not... That's all right. Just get... That's okay. Heidi's reaching. that's good. That's good. I mean, I'm not creating a religion out of it. Begin to pray for the people to your right and left, would you? Jesus said this would be a house of prayer. We need to pray one for another. Lord, I pray. We pray for those to our right, those to our left. Let there be a spirit of unity in this place. Come on. Lord, let there be a spirit of unity in this place that rules. Let there be a spirit of unity in our marriages and in our homes, in our lives and in our ministries and in our communities. God, I pray there'll be nobody in this place that in a world that is so lonely that not one person in this place would ever feel that loneliness. God, I pray for those that are online. They're afraid, they're fearful to get plugged in. But God, I pray that you'll give them boldness and courage to say, I want to be a part of something that the Spirit of God flows through. So Lord, I pray that the future days of this church are the strongest that we've ever had, the most fruitful we've ever experienced, the strength like we've never had, healing like we've never seen. I pray, God, that genuinely there would be an outpouring of your Spirit, that we be the church, the hand of God extended, brings healing, brings freedom, brings direction, brings recovery, brings prosperity, brings direction, and ultimately brings salvation to the lost and dying men and women. Oh God, soon and very soon you're returning, and I believe in the last days you'll raise up a mighty church that will have supernatural joy and power and ability. Lord, let the people of this community know there's a place you can go to be loved. Let the people of this community know there's a place that you can go and be ministered to. Let the people of these towns know that there's a place that you can go and hear the truth. Lord, let the people of this community know that there's a house of integrity. There's a house of consistency. Lord, I thank you for this blessed church. Would you help me thank God? For he is building a church out here in Charleston. Would you? Lord, we thank you for what you're doing out here. Go ahead. God, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory.